It's easy to take for granted the massive network of people who keep a county as large and, well, intricate as Los Angeles running.
Absolutely. It really is.
But this past week really brought that reality into sharp focus for everyone, I think.
It really did. Starting on Monday evening, that was April 28th, we saw over 50,000 employees of Los Angeles County, all members of SEIU Local 721, began a two-day unfair labor practice strike.
50,000. That's huge.
It is. And this was a work stoppage of really unprecedented scale for this particular union.
Unprecedented is right. And we're talking about a really diverse group of professionals here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, public health nurses, social workers doing crucial family support.
Library staff, custodians, administrative clerks.
Even the folks who manage our parks and recreation facilities. It's such a wide range.
It really is. And what was truly remarkable, as you said, was that the entire membership of Local 721 participated simultaneously. First time ever for them. The driving force behind this two-day strike, which wrapped up Wednesday evening, it really centered on the union's demands for, well, fundamental respect, fair compensation reflecting their vital work, and an end to what they allege are clear violations of established labor laws.
Okay. So in this deep dive, our goal is to really dig into the core issues that led to this historic strike, to understand the, you know, significant impact it had across the county.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe consider the broader implications moving forward. We're drawing primarily from a pretty comprehensive report issued by the International Union Local 721 itself.
Right. That's our main source here.
Okay, let's really get into this then. Who exactly is SEIU Local 721 and what's the backstory here? What led to this point?
Well, SEIU Local 721 has a pretty substantial history in Los Angeles County. Its roots go all the way back to 1934.
1934, wow. Long time.
Yeah, a very long time. And over the decades, it's grown into a major force representing a significant chunk of the county's workforce. Like we said, more than 55,000 people. And their membership covers this huge range of essential public service roles.
Right. When we talk about their members, we're looking at, like, the professionals on the front lines of public health, mental health support providers,
social workers who are just lifelines for vulnerable families,
and the people keeping libraries and parks running,
custodians, maintenance crews, all the admin personnel doing that crucial behind the scenes work.
It's a really comprehensive group.
It absolutely is. And historically, the union has played a pretty vital role in advocating for and, you know, securing important benefits for these workers.
Like what kind of things?
Well, negotiating cost of living adjustments, COLs, to help members keep pace, ensuring access to decent health care, establishing various workplace protections, basic but essential stuff.
Right.
However, the union argues that the recent contract proposals from the county just haven't adequately addressed the current economic realities, especially the big increases we've seen in the cost of living here in Southern California.
Yeah, that's definitely been a major story. So this is where it gets genuinely concerning. The report details some big sticking points during the negotiations. What were the key areas where they just couldn't find common ground?
There were several fundamental issues that became major roadblocks. Wage increases were obviously central. The union wanted multi-year raises that would genuinely reflect and, you know, keep pace with inflation.
Makes sense. What else?
Another critical point was step scale progression. Now, this is the system designed to ensure sort of fair pay increases based on job class and years of service.
So it's about recognizing experience, right? Making sure people are fairly compensated as they build their careers with the county.
Precisely. It's about valuing that commitment and growing expertise.
Okay.
The union also pushed hard for better protections against outsourcing. They wanted concrete guarantees that the work currently done by their members wouldn't just be contracted out to private companies,
which could undermine jobs and maybe even service quality.
That's the concern, yeah. And finally, they pushed for stronger anti-retaliation safeguards, basically protecting members from surveillance or discipline just for being involved in union activities.
Hmm. That surveillance point sounds particularly tricky.
It can be. Allegations like that, you know, monitoring union activities, they can really have a chilling effect on people's willingness to organize, regardless of how the specific charges eventually play out. It undermines the whole principle of collective bargaining.
That's a pretty comprehensive set of demands focusing on money, job security, and basic union rights.
Right.
So what was the timeline leading up to the actual strike?
Well, the previous contract between SEIU 721 and the county officially expired back in March 2025.
Okay.
After several months of negotiations that ultimately didn't produce a deal the union felt was adequate, Local 721 issued a formal 10-day strike notice on April 18th.
Right, giving the county warning.
Exactly. Yeah. And that action formally set the stage for the walkout that started on April 28th.
Okay, so we have the history, the union's role, the sticking points.
Mm-hmm.
It shows this growing disagreement. But what were the main catalysts? What finally pushed over 50,000 people to walk off the job?
The report really highlights two main things. The first was the significant ongoing erosion of real wages for county employees, especially when you look at LA County's rising cost of living.
Yeah, everyone knows LA is expensive, but the numbers are something else.
They really are. And the report points out this isn't just a temporary blip. Things like long-term zoning policies and limited development have really contributed to the sustained pressure, especially on middle and lower income workers, no matter their job.
Absolutely. The figures in the report are genuinely startling. Between 2020 and 2025, housing costs shot up over 30%.
And just think about that.
It's massive, a huge chunk of anyone's paycheck.
And it wasn't just housing, was it?
No, that's right. Transportation costs also went up significantly. Fuel prices, public transit fares, you name it. And then your day-to-day essentials, like groceries and utilities, saw double-digit inflation over that same five-year period. Wow, okay. So costs are soaring. But the union argued wages weren't keeping up. What kind of raises was the county actually offering?
The union stated the county's proposed annual wage increases were averaging somewhere in the range of 2 to 3%.
2 to 3%. But inflation was running higher.
Exactly. With annual inflation around 5%, the union argued pretty strongly that these proposed raises would actually mean their members were taking a pay cut in real terms.
Making it harder and harder to just get by.
Right. Forcing many into that cycle of living paycheck to paycheck.
That paints a very clear picture of the economic pressure. And the second big catalyst you mentioned was these alleged unfair labor practices. 44 charges sounds like a lot.
It is a substantial number, yeah.
What exactly did the union accuse the county of doing? What were these ULPs?
Well, the charges covered a range of alleged actions. Things like claims of surveillance of union communications, monitoring emails, maybe meetings involving union activists. There were also allegations of retaliatory discipline, where the union felt warnings or negative performance reviews were given out specifically because someone was involved with the union.
That definitely sounds like trying to discourage union activity.
That's how the union saw it. They also accused the county of unauthorized outsourcing, contracting out jobs, usually done by union members. And finally, they alleged bad faith bargaining.
Bad faith bargaining. What does that mean in practice?
Accusing the county of intentionally delaying counteroffers on key economic issues, basically slow walking the whole negotiation process.
So these aren't just minor disagreements. These are serious accusations about how the county handled the bargaining.
Exactly.
It's not really surprising then that these kinds of allegations would, you know, fire up the membership and strengthen their resolve.
Right. And the proof was in the vote, 98% of members voted to authorize the strike.
98%. That's overwhelming support.
It really underscores the level of frustration and the sense of unity among the members.
Okay, so the decision was made. What did this massive strike actually look like on the ground? How did it all unfold across LA County?
So the strike officially kicked off at 7 p.m. on Monday, April 28th. The first wave of workers finishing their shifts basically walked straight onto the picket lines.
Right into it.
Yeah. Then, over the next 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, you saw widespread picketing, community rallies, support events at county facilities all over LA County.
All over.
Everywhere. The strike was set to end at 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 30th, unless, you know, there was some major breakthrough in talks, which didn't happen in that window.
And this wasn't just a small group, right?
Yeah.
The report talks about a really significant mobilization effort.
Oh, absolutely. SEIU Local 721 showed remarkable organizational strength. Thousands of volunteers staffed picket lines in staggered shifts.
So it was coordinated.
Highly coordinated. It ensured a consistent, visible presence at key locations without burning out any one group of workers. Very impressive, actually.
And these picket lines weren't just downtown, right? They were all over, reflecting where the members actually work. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. A big one was Los Angeles General Medical Center. Hundreds of healthcare workers were out there. Signs like Safety Net Workers Unite.
Powerful message.
Definitely. Then at the Hall of Administration downtown, clerical and admin staff formed a human chain, really disrupting access to public service counters there.
Sounds tough.
Librarians and aides picketed outside over 80 county library branches handing out leaflets explaining why they were striking.
80 branches. Wow.
Yeah. And even at public parks and rec facilities, you had recreation leaders and custodians staging what they called playground pickets, talking to families about the issues.
Playground pickets. I like that. Mm. Those examples really show the sheer scope, don't they? Affecting so many different essential services.
Exactly. It wasn't just one sector. It was a broad disruption across county operations.
So let's talk about that impact. What were the immediate tangible effects of this two-day stoppage on the services LA County residents rely on?
Well, the impact was felt across a really wide spectrum. In healthcare and mental health, many non-emergency clinics had to cut hours or even close temporarily.
So delays for routine stuff, checkups, vaccinations.
Exactly, delays for things like that. And while some critical mental health crisis lines stayed open, lots of people with ongoing counseling appointments had them rescheduled. That's disruptive.
Definitely.
And critically, community outreach programs, like those mobile health vans serving underserved areas, they were paused. So immunization drives, health screenings in places with limited healthcare access halted.
That's really concerning, especially for vulnerable populations who depend on that consistent care. And the disruption wasn't just in healthcare, right?
No, it spread much further. Social services and benefits processing took a big hit, too. With lots of caseworkers out, you saw major backlogs building up for programs like CalWORKs, Medi-Call in-home supportive services.
These are vital programs for families, people with disabilities, seniors.
Absolutely essential. So people faced delays getting applications processed, benefits renewed, and trying to call benefit hotlines meant long waits. In-person service slowed way down too.
So people needing help from these critical safety net programs faced extra hurdles. What about things like libraries and parks that so many people use?
Yeah, the closure of over 80 library branches meant canceling tons of community programs, after-school stuff, ESL classes, and crucially, access to public computers, which many people rely on.
Right, not everyone has internet at home.
Exactly. Community centers, public pools, youth sports at rec centers all suspended during the strike. Even basic park and beach amenities like restrooms, picnic areas were unavailable because maintenance and custodial staff were out.
It really paints a picture of how much daily life was disrupted for so many residents.
Mm.
And I assume the county's routine administrative functions also saw significant setbacks.
Oh, definitely. Processing permits and licenses, building permits, marriage licenses, business licenses. Big delays there.
Things people need to move forward with their lives or businesses.
Right. People needing vital records, marriage licenses, filing civil documents, faced long waits or postponements. Even routine coroner reports were apparently delayed because support staff were striking.
Wow.
The overall picture is just widespread inconvenience and disruption. It really highlights how much the county depends on the work these union employees do every single day.
So, from the union's view, the strike clearly showed their essential role. But what about the county's perspective? The report does mention some pretty significant financial challenges the county's facing.
Yes, the county administration points to what they call unprecedented budgetary pressures. They specifically mention that huge $4 billion settlement for historical childhood sexual assault claims.
Right, that was massive news.
And about $2 billion in costs following those devastating wildfires back in January 2025. On top of that, there's a lot of uncertainty about future federal funding for things like Medicaid and public health grants, potentially hundreds of millions in lost revenue there.
Those are undeniably huge financial hits for the county to absorb. So the county's argument is basically that meeting the union's demands could make these financial problems worse, potentially leading to even tougher choices later.
That's their main line. County officials have warned publicly that agreeing to the union's terms without finding significant new revenue could force really difficult decisions, maybe layoffs in other areas or cuts to other essential services.
So they're emphasizing fiscal prudence.
Right. Avoiding structural deficits, protecting core services like public safety and health. They've also talked about phased wage adjustments, maybe prioritizing lower paid workers first.
But the union, as we heard, doesn't seem convinced by this argument of financial hardship. What's their response to the county's claims about these budget pressures?
Well, the union leadership argues that the county's delayed action and what they see as inadequate offers don't just hurt workers now, but also damage morale and potentially the quality of public services long term.
So they think the money's there.
They contend the county does have the financial resources to meet their demands. They frame fair wages and working conditions not just as an expense, but as a crucial investment in maintaining high-quality public services for everyone in LA County.
It's a classic standoff, really. differing views on financial realities and priorities. The report also includes some very powerful personal voices from the picket lines. What did we hear from the union leaders and the workers themselves?
Yeah, the report quotes key leaders. David Green, the SEIU Local 721 president, really emphasized their members' vital role. He said, "We are the backbone of Los Angeles County through emergencies, fires, and health crises. Our fight is for dignity and respect."
Strong words.
And Lillian Cabral, a veteran bargaining committee member serving since 1978.
Wow, that's dedication.
Incredible dedication. She expressed deep frustration, calling the current negotiation process the slowest and most unfair she'd seen in decades of service.
Those quotes really hit home, showing the personal investment here. And the report shared some anonymized but impactful stories from frontline workers, too.
Yes, very powerful stories. We heard from a public health nurse talking about juggling a mortgage and student loans, sometimes having to skip meals to make ends meet.
Just basic survival becoming a struggle.
Exactly. A library assistant, 15 years on the job, worried about losing her affordable housing despite her long service.
That's heartbreaking after 15 years.
And a custodian put it very plainly. The living wage increase they need isn't about luxuries. It's about being able to afford rent and food, not choosing between them.
These personal stories really drive home the human cost of stagnant wages in such an expensive place.
Absolutely. It stops being about abstract numbers and becomes about real people's ability to live.
So what about the broader community, businesses in LA County? How did they react to this major stoppage?
Public sentiment seemed kind of mixed, complex. You definitely saw strong support for the strikers' neighborhood groups, residents bringing supplies to picket lines, joining chants.
Okay, so visible solidarity.
Yes. But then you had residents who really depend on those services. Seniors, low-income families needing libraries or social services, understandably expressing frustration and concern about the disruption.
That makes sense, too.
And local businesses near picket lines saw mixed effects. Some cafes maybe got more traffic from strikers, but others lost customers because of blocked access or general inconvenience.
So a real mix of support and frustration, depending on how people were affected. What about reactions from political leaders and advocacy groups?
Generally, city council members were calling for faster mediation, trying to get a resolution. Many were cautious about taking sides publicly, not wanting to politicize essential services.
Trying to stay neutral.
Right. On the other hand, labor rights activists mostly saw this LA County strike as part of that bigger national trend of worker activism we've been seeing. They urged other public sector unions to stand firm.
It definitely feels like we are seeing more labor activity across different sectors lately. The report links the LA strike to this broader context too, right?
Yes, it does. The report points to a noticeable increase in union activity across the U.S. in 2025. It mentions the big entertainment strikes, writers, actors, plus transit worker actions in various places, even slowdowns in manufacturing, like auto parts plants.
So LA isn't happening in a vacuum.
Not at all. The analysis suggests this is part of a larger trend, workers collectively demanding better economic justice, more dignity on the job.
And this increased labor activity could have legislative ripples here in California.
That's a really important point. There are actually several bills moving through the California legislature right now aimed at strengthening collective bargaining laws for public employers.
Oh, interesting. What kind of changes?
Things like emphasizing transparent, good faith negotiation standards. Yeah. Also efforts to increase penalties for employers found guilty of unfair labor practices fines, mandatory remedies for violations.
So the outcome in LA County could influence those state level debates.
It very well could. A high profile dispute like this often shapes how lawmakers think about these issues and what kind of reforms ultimately pass.
Which brings us back to the legal framework around unfair labor practices, the ULPs. That seems central here. Can you remind us of the basics and how they relate to the union's charges against the county?
Sure. Under the rules of the California Public Employment Relations Board, that's PARB, the state agency overseeing public sector labor, public employees, have specific guaranteed rights.
Like what?
The right to organize and bargain collectively without interference, the right to engage in concerted activities for mutual aid or protection, and also the right not to participate in union activity if they choose.
Okay.
And as we mentioned, SCU 721 filed those 44 ULP charges, alleging things like retaliatory discipline and unauthorized outsourcing, which they believe violate those protected rights.
And if PARB agrees with the union, what happens then?
PARB has several potential remedies. They could issue formal mediation orders requiring more facilitated bargaining. They could issue cease and desist orders telling the county to stop specific unlawful practices.
Could there be financial penalties?
In some cases, yes. If employees suffered financial harm due to ULPs, PERB can order monetary remedies like back pay or restitution.
But that PERB process takes time, right?
It often does. Investigating and resolving these cases can take 6 months, sometimes well over a year, which is why reaching a negotiated settlement directly is usually much faster for everyone involved.
Right. Which brings us back to the negotiation table. How might this move forward? What are the core demands still on the table from the union, and what are the county's main counterproposals?
Okay. The union's core demands remain focused on inflation-adjusted wage increases over multiple years, significantly enhancing that step scale system for fair career progression, stronger anti-retaliation clauses, and firm guarantees on work preservation, limiting outsourcing.
Pretty consistent with what led to the strike.
Yeah.
And the county side, trying to balance those demands with their budget issues.
Their proposals include those phased wage adjustments, maybe starting with the lowest paid workers, with future raises tied to the county's budget health. They've also proposed pilot workforce development programs, especially in high demand areas like mental health and social services.
Trying to offer career growth opportunities.
Seems like it. And on outsourcing, they've suggested creating joint labor management review committees to oversee future decisions.
So it looks like there might be some areas for potential compromise, but still significant gaps. The report mentioned mediation again. How could a neutral mediator help here?
Well, state labor officials have formally offered to convene mediation, and a neutral third-party facilitator can be incredibly valuable in situations like this.
How so?
They can help clarify misunderstandings, make sure each side really hears the other's core concerns. Skilled mediators can also explore creative compromises maybe not considered before, like linking bonuses to specific revenue targets or looking at more flexible work options like remote work.
And maybe just help set realistic timelines.
Exactly. Help establish a more structured process for making progress both now and for future talks.
It definitely sounds like a skilled, neutral third party could be key to finding a path forward. Okay, looking beyond the immediate resolution, what are some potential long-term implications of this strike and its outcome for LA County and maybe even beyond?
There are several big ones. First, service delivery and public confidence. A swift, fair agreement could help restore community trust and show the value of collective bargaining for a stable workforce.
But a long fight could hurt that trust.
Right. A prolonged, bitter dispute could erode public confidence and really underscore the county's reliance on its union workers. Second, this could set a precedent for other public sector unions, maybe not just in LA, but across California.
How so?
If SCU 721 makes significant gains, other city or school district unions might feel emboldened to push for similar demands, potentially leading to more labor activity statewide. And finally, there are major implications for LA County's fiscal sustainability. Meeting union demands without new, sustainable revenue could worsen those structural deficits we talked about.
Meaning the county might have to look at tough options.
Potentially. Things like putting targeted tax measures on the ballot, aggressively seeking more federal grants, or exploring more public-private partnerships.
It's clear this strike has ripples far beyond the 2 days it lasted. The report even wraps up with some lessons learned and recommendations,
yeah.
Mostly from the union's viewpoint, right? What are those key takeaways?
They really emphasize proactive bargaining, engaging early and continuously to prevent disagreements escalating. They also stress transparent financial modeling, sharing budget forecasts openly with unions to build trust and understanding.
Makes sense. What else?
The need for ongoing community outreach during negotiations, keeping residents informed to minimize frustration, using third-party facilitation like mediators to break logjams, and critically, having robust contingency plans for essential services during any labor dispute.
So basically, a call for a more collaborative, transparent, and prepared approach to labor relations overall.
That's the gist of it, yes.
Well, this deep dive into the SEIU Local 721 strike in Los Angeles County really highlights a critical moment for the region, doesn't it? It shows this potent mix of economic pressure on workers, serious allegations about labor practices, and, well, what looks like part of the broader national trend of worker activism.
It really does. And the outcome here will undoubtedly have lasting effects on the county's finances, the reliability of public services, and the whole labor movement landscape in California.
Absolutely. This whole situation really raises a fundamental question for you, the listener. In this era of rising costs and complex financial pressures on local governments everywhere, how do we strike the right balance? The balance between ensuring fair pay and benefits for the public workers we all rely on, and the need for fiscal responsibility and sustainable public management.
It's a tough balance. What innovative solutions might exist that could effectively address both sides of that equation, serving workers and the broader community? It's certainly something important to think about.